Well, good evening to you. I'm going to read tonight from the new book and also some new poems. This first poem is about a fellow named Jack Walford, whom some of you may remember. Many people have written poems about him, Mike James specifically. This poem is called That's Jack. I'm thinking about Jack, about starting my reading at Hemingway's with his Pell Mell Dune, explaining it's my favorite poem in the anthology, the only one of its kind. Jack was a great Pittsburgh poet. If you ever go to Pittsburgh Poetry Valhalla and a big burly guy gives you a hard time, you'll doubt your right to be there. That's Jack. He was rough in workshop. This next one is called Looking at Third. It's a baseball poem. From Falls Church, Virginia, horse country, he was what they call cockeyed. Dan was catcher for the Dickinson team. When he picked a runner off first, the young man was later heard to say, "How did he do that? He wasn't even looking at me." This poem is called Delta. She came into my, number one, there's two parts. One, she came into my life as vivid as a bowl full of strawberries. My elegiac art collapsed day after day into the pupil of her eye. The densely twined limbs of the cypress pretend to a nourishment and sweetness, unlike the clock's hard math. Two, this means happiness, something about conditions, mockingbird hiding in the greenery. Chatter, chatter. It doesn't matter if I shout into the wind. She can't hear me, only her own song. Now, people who know me know that I love dogs. I had collies when I was a boy, but I live in the city. So I don't have dogs, I have cats. And this poem has to do with cats that are former cats of mine. Called Into the Closet. Cleo liked to slip into the big closet. Sometimes she would meow and I would let her out. Other times not a peep, but Hawthorne would sit patiently on the outside. That's how I knew she was in there. When she died on December 7th, the three of us were in bed together, on the bed together. She raised her head and shoulders, gave a cry, and fell back. She would have been 17 the following January. Clea was buried under a tree out at Patty's. I'm glad she was able to die at home with her family. I guess Hawthorne doesn't really understand death. Almost 2 years later, and still, whenever I open that closet door, Hawthorne walks in and utters his little meow, looking for Clea. This is called Outpost. Pushpins arrayed on the map. Blue, red, yellow, green. Some black along the coastline. Debris from the ceiling falls into my coffee. The weather keeps us inside. It makes the TV picture snowy. Some of the rooms are empty and unheated. They call me the fisherman. Now, for you history buffs, that poem is about James Angleton, the Black Ops director for the CIA for many years. This next poem is called Imagination, and it's from dedicated to my friend Suzanne Fountain, and I don't want you to miss the Pope Benedict. He appears in this poem. From the balcony of the rented vacation apartment the two of you share in northern Arkansas, Horseshoe Bend, you look down to the lake in the moonlight, where two men are in the water, skinny dipping. One your poet lover, the other Benedict, the current pope. This is the magic of it. He can call in the great or humble, the real or fanciful, living or dead, to his side in the moonlight for your astonishment. Just two older men enjoying the water on a summer's night. Thank you. Now, when Ezra Pound started out creating modern poetry and Hilda Doolittle was his student, they spent a lot of time thinking about the concept of imagism, and a lot of us are still interested in that. This poem is called In Suzanne's House. Everywhere one looks, there is a treat, a painting of red poppies in a vase, a pewter tea service. Now, this next poem is based on the idea of correspondences, because one of the things that I find in working in poetry is that there are just so many connections. I had a conversation on the way here tonight with one of the Christian proselytizers on the corner, and if you were interested and we had time, which we don't, I could explain all the references of that conversation, what they had to do with, and so on. One of the people that came up was Roy Buchanan, the great guitar player. Anyway, this poem is called The Hotel Earl. Correspondences. Tom Russell, in a concert at Pittsburgh Center for the Arts, mentions the Hotel Earl in Greenwich Village, a cheap place for musicians to stay back in the day. Then in Lisa Jarno's biography of Robert Duncan, she mentions Duncan stayed at the Hotel Earl in April 1962 on one of his visits to New York City. Correspondences. What do you do if you're two white girls and a black guy? Judy Jones, Sue Rare, and Lenny King. It's 1962, and you've just met in New York City, and you're in bed together at the Hotel Earl. What do you do? Well, you phone Michael back in Carlisle, 2 a.m., to share the joy. Correspondences. The Hotel Earl became a welfare hotel and burned down. Bob Nelson's father lived there. He was murdered in 1971 in Central Park. I remember a nearby mission. They had grape soup and donuts. You had to listen to the sermon first. Thank you. So I'm going to read some new work. I've been writing a lot of elegies lately because I'm old, and people that are as old as I, or younger or older, are dying. So this is an elegy for a guy named Jack Edgar that I used to work with. He was one of my favorite all-time people. I mourn his passing. We had so much fun working together in the SSI unit. Baseball, the Pirates. I admired his religion and his sense of humor. The department once gave us new manuals, three ugly yellow things, and followed with new pages as policy changed or was clarified. Jack said to me, "Michael, there's only one manual, and it never changes." Curve that referring to his religion. That's one of the poems I wanted these guys on the corner to hear, but I guess they decided not to join us after all. I told him not last week, but a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Look, I've read your book, now you need to read mine." And I offered to sell him a copy right on the corner, but he was cashless, he said, but I told him where the book was available in bookstores and all. Here's an elegy for Jimmy Savetic. As Chuck Parnell would say, "We'll not see his like again." On the other hand, how long do you think the Lord will put up with Jimmy's nagging? Heaven must be more inclusive, not exclusive. And there's no such thing as a bad person. Whenever a poet needs encouragement during the night, or a young boxer needs someone in his corner, Jimmy will be there. Canonization? The over and under is 3 years. I'll take the under. So I wrote some poems about chickens and blindness. This one's called Blind Rooster. The blind rooster still pecks every hen in the yard. Like a chicken. That Bobby Sox baby, cut her head off, she'll keep dancing a full 5 minutes before she falls over. Willie Johnson, a blind street singer on a cold corner in Texas. Jesus is in the wind. Now here's another poem about Jack's manuals. We were called for training and told to bring our manuals, those three big ugly yellow things. After the training concluded, Jack tossed the manuals in the trunk of that Pacer of his. Several years later, when Jack sold the car, the manuals were still there. This is a poem entitled Elegy for Hart Crane. Remember I told you to watch for Pope Benedict and that other poem. Well, this poem is Elegy for Hart Crane, but nowhere in the poem does it mention Hart Crane, so I don't want you to feel like you've missed something. Elegy for Hart Crane, one. Grapey wrote a poem about a man who hurled himself from the catwalk to the floor below because he was tired, tired of fish and potatoes. Two, Bill Withers declined to sing at his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He said, Stevie can sing my song. Three, another spent his nights on the Williamsburg Bridge, blowing to the wind and the cables, Brooklyn and Manhattan. Oh, Sonny, thank you. Thank you for coming back. Thank you. Now, there's two more poems that are going to happen now. The first one is Terrence Hayes did a reading at the Pitt Bookstore when his book, How to Be Drawn, came out. And we had a conversation afterwards in which he expressed an interest in Hill District ghost stories. And I told him that I knew two, one of which I'd actually witnessed. But we didn't have time to really get into that at the moment. So I carried these two ghost stories around with me for a couple of years. And Terrence showed up at Toy Derricotte's book launch at Alphabet City, and I proceeded to tell him the two stories, which he enjoyed, and he said, well, those sound like poems. Well, whenever people say such and such should be a poem or sounds like a poem, I always think, no, poetry doesn't work that way. But then frequently it does work that way, and I wind up writing a poem. So this is a poem in two parts. It's called Two Hill District Ghost Stories for Terrence Hayes. One, The Dead Wife. A man and his girlfriend poisoned the man's wife. She died and was buried without an autopsy. When the house burned several weeks later, three charred bodies were found in the bed. The man, the girlfriend, and in between them, the body of the dead wife. True story. Ask any Hill District old timer. Two, The Itching Spell. We hired a pretty young girl from the Hill District named Brenda. Yarnell seduced her with sweet words and lies. Brenda's mama was a conjure woman from Mississippi. When Brenda found out Yarnell had a wife at home, she put an itching spell on him. He itched and he itched and he itched some more. The next day at the office, Brenda made Yarnell crawl across the floor on his belly in front of all of us and plead forgiveness. She then released the spell and resigned. We never saw her again. I wish I could say that taught Yarnell a lesson. Yarnell wound up on the front page of the paper for a later misbehaving. I don't know if that'll be a poem ever or not. We'll see. But anyway, I'm going to close with the concluding poem in the book, Even Then, and I invite you to buy my book. Be sure to buy Lubomir's book, for gosh sake, because he's not here all the time. And the other folks, I mean, it's great stuff. This one is called Even Then, the title poem. Who will mend the wings of the angels after that last great battle? for history will not end even then, but continue unwinding into the dark. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Yeah.